We are very happy to have him with us. Sitting in studio with us right now is a former Duck, first-round draft pick, and longtime NFL veteran. Now he's just winning state championships at Westland High School, along with Anthony Newman. Alex Molden joining us. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You just released your second book, mm-hmm. Breaking on the Ball of Life. I can't think of a better title for a book written by a defensive back than Breaking on the Ball of Life, man.
Let's go.
What got you into writing books now as this next chapter of your life?
Man, I never in a million years thought I would write a book, you know, let alone two. Mm-hmm. But when you have like people who challenge you, right? When you have, I have a coach, name is Eldridge Broussard. And he challenged me to be number one, to be a better person. Right. And then also like he helps me with, man, my brand and what I wanted to create. And so he challenged me to write a book. And so I did that the first time, and that was a couple of years ago. And he said, hey, it's about time again. And I was like, oh, you know how hard that was. But yeah, I end up, you know, just kind of sitting down and like, man, just mapping out like the decisions that helped me have success on the football field. Right. And those same principles can apply in life. Like for me to make, you know, interceptions or whatnot, it wasn't just I was out there guessing. Like I had to take in information. I had to process that information at a fairly high rate and then produce an outcome. Well, if you can do those things when you have, let's say, opportunities, right? And a lot of us, we get attached to the feeling of the opportunity. It can be good, bad, whatever, but you get attached to this feeling, and it might be a good feeling. That doesn't necessarily mean that's a great idea for what you want to build in the future. So I teach and I talked about in the book, alignment, assignment, and then adjustment. Like, is this aligned to who you are, to your character, or the brand that you're trying to build, right, with this decision? And then your assignment, like who you are, like understanding, like, man, where do you, what is your purpose, right? And or where do you want your purpose to be? And then the different adjustments that you might need to make in terms of, like, relationships that you have. So, you know, it's just these things that help me out to do something a very small percentage of humans, you know, get to do is play professional mm-hmm. sports, and to do it for, you know, 8 years, which I didn't know this, but only 3% of those guys who got drafted the other day, only 3% play 8 or more years.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not because of my looks, right? I thought it would, but it's not because of my look. It's not, you know, the speed, the size, definitely not my size, but it was, man, I was able to make pretty damn good decisions.
Yeah.
Right. And so you can, you know, we all have that capacity to be able to do that and make decisions to, you know, what you want to do with your life.
You bring up two points that something I talk to a lot of guys about just across sports, particularly in basketball, but I would imagine it's probably the same in football, because of so much time and dedication, the assignment and the adjustment. How were you able to conquer that? Because you had a career, like you said, for 8 years, that becomes almost synonymous with who you are. How are you able to process that? Because that seems to be one of the hardest things for professional athletes who have, like you said, more than, because the average NFL career is 3.5 years.
Yep.
So you more than double that. So the investment in that and the assignment of that, how do you go from that to kind of where you are now? Like, I imagine you probably outlined some of that in the book, but that process, because it becomes synonymous, like you said, with who you are. Yeah. How are you able to step back and see that in the moment? Because it seems like that is one of the strongest barriers for prior athletes to conquer.
Yeah. What happens when you're doing something like at a high level and you have to be dedicated to it, you have to, like what they say, eat, sleep, drink, whatever, right? You have to be careful with that, because it can become your identity, mm-hmm. especially if you have relationships that are, like, you know, in your household that they're pouring in that too, right? And it starts to become like who you are. And when you step away from it, whether you want to or not, you're lost, And I was one of those, like, you know, I was one of those guys who, when I stepped away from the game, and I was like, oh man, this, I'm really am. I don't know what I, you know, who I am. You know, what's my purpose? What do I like? What I don't like? And for me, it came in the form of a job interview. I was not even a whole year removed from the game, and I was getting bored just playing golf and working out whenever I wanted to, if you can believe that. I was like, man, I got bored.
It sounds great. It sounds great, but then you do it.
And you do it, and it's like, man, dropping off the kids, playing golf, working out. I said, man, there's got to be more than this. And I ended up going on a job interview at a nonprofit, and it was an entry-level position. And I did all my homework. I went in there, and, man, I was killing it, the interview, killing it. Because I did all the things that helped me on the field. I applied it to this. Mm-hmm. Until she started asking me questions about me. And everything out of my mouth had something to do with football. And she finally stopped the interview. She said, Alex, you're not going to get this job. And she said, let me give you some advice. You need to find out exactly who you are before you go on any more job interviews. And so she walked me to the front door, told me good luck. And that's when I went in my car and I wept. I cried. Mm-hmm. And that was painful. But I understand, like, man, with pain, if you can channel it, it can become your greatest asset. And so that low point, man, helped me start, like, figuring out about leadership.
Yeah.
Which is influence. But the number one person I have to influence is me. Mm-hmm. And so I need to find out what those influencers are. Like, why do I make the decisions I make? Why do I have, you know, these relationships with people who don't really align with who I'm about? You know, so once I started finding out more about me, and then, you know, start asking myself pretty tough questions, but then answering them, then everything started to kind of clear up, and I became just as confident, if not more, as I was on the football field, and became confident in the decisions I was making and the relationships that I was building.
Isn't that amazing, though, that you took, you know, a piece of advice that, hey, you need to get outside of that football orbit, but you used what you'd learned in that orbit to grow and find yourself and who you are.
But let me tell you something. I was in my feelings.
Yeah, oh yeah.
For a long time. Yeah, it would be cool if I was tell that story. And, yeah, I was like, in the next day, everything changed. Man, it took years, right? It took years for me to, like, really start to, you know, ask those questions and answering them, and you know, start to really figure out, like, man, what's my purpose?
Yeah.
And so I've always wanted to help people. And at first it was like, man, I want to help athletes become better athletes. So I started training.
Yeah.
And that took off. It went great. But then I started to get into leadership, and, you know, it started at home first.
Alex Molden is our guest. He was a former Oregon Duck, 11th overall pick. You were talking about these guys that had gotten their name called over the weekend. It's the biggest moment in their life. And one of your sons, Elijah, just re-signed with the Los Angeles Chargers yesterday, mm-hmm, is when the news broke of that. I imagine that a lot of what you were doing is you were going through what you were just describing to us was, you know, at the formative years that Elijah is growing up and all of your kids. And how did you take kind of those things when you see your child is a gifted athlete and you've got several gifted athletes for children, but in translating that and just kind of keeping that focus on who they are as people, not just athletes, that everybody gets wrapped up in when you're going through sports.
Yeah, man. The biggest one is, like, we really, my wife and I, is we're more concerned about the character of our kids. And we want them to score all type of touchdowns and three pointers and, you know, do all that good stuff. But when somebody comes to me and I don't ask them, and they come to me and they tell me something that my son or daughters have done, that was, they was thinking of somebody else, they was helping somebody else, I'll do backflips, right? Me and my wife, we would do backflips. We would go above and beyond to celebrate that above what you do in your sport. Because in sports, there's a shelf life, right? I can't go out there at 51 and try to backpedal and flip my hips and turn and cover somebody, right? those doors close, but who you are, that lasts forever. So we want our kids to, you know, number one, be good people. And number two is like, man, create relationships, you know, with those within our family, but then also, man, to help other people.
How hard is that to navigate in today's world with youth sports?
Man, it's tough because parents nowadays and, you know, because I'm in the stands. Mm-hmm. And I hear to have the conversations. And because we have eight kids, you know, people think that we have a lot of the answers, which we don't. But it's like, you know, but what I hear is like, man, people think that they're missing out by having their son or daughters in this one sport and they're doing it year round. And when you do that, it's dangerous because that's how, you know, your identity gets formed. Mm-hmm. All right. And outside of like the injuries that can happen with that too, but it's like, man, there's more to it than just being a good athlete and good in your sport. And like use that sport as a vehicle and understand like everything is connected. The little things that you do at home, they have the potential to doing and helping you out in your sport. The same thing though on the other side of it, you keep leaving crumbs out and you expect mom or dad to clean it up. That stuff, if it's not checked, man, when later on down the road, you know, that can hurt you. You think somebody else is going to do it.
Especially with eight kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a lot of crumbs.
Dude, think about this, man. You the crumbs, or our biggest thing is shoes.
Oh.
You leave your shoes out, and then so think even eight people leaving their shoes out, right? Man, you'd be tripping all day.
Yeah, yeah. But it becomes bigger things in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's one thing that I appreciate. You know, when you win titles, especially at the high school level, all of a sudden your program becomes like the big bad villain. But mm-hmm. one thing that I love about what you guys have going on at West Lynn is that you guys have got Coach Eagle, you, Coach Newman, and several others that it is about that character building just as much as it is about winning the football games. Like everybody's like, well, why are all these kids, you know, popping up at West Lynn? It's like, well, I have a pretty good reason. And it's because it's a lot more than just winning the football games is why that happens.
Man, it's more than just the W's. Mm-hmm. And we use that, I think, for myself. I can speak for myself, and I've seen Coach Eagle, and the reason why I'm still coaching is because of him and Coach Newman, because the people that they are. They want to make our athletes better people. And so I was like, I'm all in. And they don't just say it, is they match it with their words or with their actions and how to respond to different things. So it's about making better better people. Better people in the community, yeah. And the wins and all that stuff, that's I don't know, that's shrapnel. It's a byproduct.
Yeah.
But what's really cool is when we get text messages from players who've, you know, 5 years down the, you know, who hasn't played five, six, seven years, and they ask us for a recommendation for jobs or, you know, to come to their wedding. I mean, that's, you know, come on, man.
It is one of the cooler things is, and we talk about this with Anthony all the time, is that Coach Newman, he's getting the hugs from all of his former players that are playing on the field, but it's the reaction when there's a former player that's in the stands that yells back at him and he goes up and it's the same reaction because those guys' playing days are done. They're up in the stands, but that's why you love sports, and that's why you want to give back and still coach. I mean,
absolutely.
It is the best part of it all.
Yeah.
You were down in Eugene on Saturday.
Yeah.
And for the spring game with your son Josiah, who is another highly touted recruit out of the Molden family. It was amazing to see, and you played in the spring games in the 90s where it was just another practice, but you guys got to hit each other. 40,000 people plus. It was incredible down there.
That was the amount of hype that I would have had, or that I would have loved to play a spring game in front of 40,000. Are you kidding me? Maybe 3,000, 5,000 back in the day. We can hear conversations in there, people like that. But that was really cool. And, you know, for him to experience that and to see you know, what University of Oregon is doing with under Coach Lanning and where they're going. It's like, I want to get them down there as much as I can. I don't want anybody to tell him this, though, because I want him to make his own decision. I'm just trying to, like, lead it. And, yeah, it's a great decision if you choose to go here. It's your decision. So I just try to, you know, what'd you say, lead a horse to water?
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying. I'm trying to do, but I'm trying to be very smooth about it.
It's a big pond down there.
Yeah, yeah. Not like back in the day, yeah.
The book is Breaking on the Ball of Life. It is your second book. It was just released yesterday, so yeah. Congratulations on book number two.
Thank
hitting
you.
The bookstores, and it's on. I saw it on Amazon, so you can pick it up wherever you want to get it. It's awesome, valuable tools for life in what you've learned from the field.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just like, man, the different experiences that we have in our different worlds. It's like, man, if you can extract like the good, the bad, the hey, look out for this, and be able to give like some type of framework for people, why not do it?
We need to get you in during football season. We can actually talk about the Ducks. We can talk about Elijah and the Chargers this year.
Big year coming up for them.
And
I'm very excited.
He's got a Duck that they just drafted, and Jamari Caldwell too, right in the middle.
So there you have it. You got to have more Ducks than dogs in any NFL team. If you can do that, I think great things can happen.
I love it, man. Thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it. And good luck with the new book. Breaking on the Ball of Life is Alex Molden's new book. And I feel like I learned something just sitting here listening to you on the growth and kind of using that mindset. But mostly it made me feel a lot better. I have two kids that you don't have all the answers even with eight, and you've been through it.
Absolutely not.
Every parent has that. I don't know how to tackle this one.
Always game planning.
We try.
The biggest, hey, you got to stay a united unit between you and mama, right? You and your wife, you got to, hey, you have the connected unit.
That's why the kids
stay together.
When I was younger, man, divide and conquer. I knew what I was doing.
See, agent of chaos over there. That's where he thrives.